Oh, hallelujah. Well, good morning. It's Lots of Love Ministries, and we're having our weekly meeting. We just had awesome worship, and we sang the song, Holy Spirit, Let Your Fire Fall. And that's what we're asking today, that Holy Spirit would show up and let His fire fall. Holy Spirit, come. Come and guide my words and teach the people through my voice today. I yield my voice to you. We bless you. We lift up your holy name. We exalt you, Yeshua. You are awesome. You are awesome. And we bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Today, there's been a topic on my heart the past few days that I want to talk about. I'm going to share a lot of scripture today. So listen carefully and go back and study these scriptures this week. The subject I want to talk about is very much in the news right now, and a lot of people are talking about it. And that has to do with end times. And everybody's talking about Jesus is coming back soon and the signs of the times. And me personally, I've studied the end times, the book of Revelation and related books. I've studied it since I was 15 years old. And at the time of this message, I'm 60. So I've studied it in many different venues. Many different people have taught it in many different ways. I've studied with the Seventh-day Adventists. I've studied it with the Assemblies of God. I've studied it Foursquare. I've studied it from many different authors and read many different books and have examined many different points of view as to timing. Some people talk about the tribulation and they say Jesus coming back pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, mid-tribulation, pre-wrath, which is a little different than mid-trib. There's all different points of view. Personally, I believe in pre-wrath. However, after studying it for decades, Jesus told me one day that the most important thing, rather than getting the timing right, is to have a personal relationship with Him. Walk in obedience to Him and build that relationship with Him. And if we are walking with the Lord, listening and obeying and growing in that relationship, it doesn't matter when all these things happen, we will be ready. And that's the most important thing. So I'm going to talk about a little bit of that. How can we be ready? First, I want to say, in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warn you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourself are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Here in this passage, we learn that God's will for us is to walk in sanctification and honor, to keep our bodies pure and holy before the Lord. That means we have to abstain from sexual immorality. There is so much sexual immorality in the world today, so much temptation to misuse the beautiful gift of sexuality in an unholy manner. So first we have to do that. And then here is a message to them to not be uninformed. So I believe that at that time there were some who were saying that Jesus already came and they had missed it. And he is correcting that. He wants people to know that the second coming, which we call the second coming, the first coming was when Yeshua came to die on the cross and pay for our sins. The second coming is when he's coming back and we're going to meet him in the air. This concept right here is called the rapture. Some people teach today that there is no rapture because the word rapture does not appear in Scripture. However, even though the word itself, rapture, does not appear in Scripture, the concept, the meaning of rapture is described right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in the last paragraph, starting with verse 13, and then especially in verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is the rapture. It defines the rapture. So don't let anybody tell you that the rapture isn't real. Someday, Yeshua is coming back and we are going to meet him in the air. And that is the rapture. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's addressing this subject again. And he says, now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And means it's going to happen in conjunction with. It means this has to happen and this has to happen. So here's an and. I want to really hammer this into your spirits. These two things must happen first. So don't be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed, because it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was with you, I was telling you these things? So here he's saying two things must happen first before the day of the Lord comes, before Jesus comes back and we're gathered to him. Because this is the context. It says regarding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, which we talked about in 1 Thessalonians 4. So here we're talking about two things that happen before that happens. There's going to be a great apostasy, a great falling away. Many people are talking about the great harvest. There's going to be a great harvest coming in revival. And while I think that might happen, to me, in some ways, it disturbs my spirit, because while many people may give, you know, their life to the Lord or pray the prayer or whatever, there's going to be a great falling away, a great apostasy. Many people will not remain with the Lord. So even though millions may come and give their heart to the Lord, they're going to turn back and fall away. And that grieves my spirit to know that this is going to happen. But also something else must happen. The man of sin, of lawlessness, is going to be revealed. This is the person who we refer to as the Antichrist. He's going to be revealed first before the Lord comes back. This is why I believe in pre-wrath, because we are not destined for wrath, but tribulation is not the same thing as the wrath of God. Tribulation comes from man. And the Antichrist will be given the authority to overcome the saints. If the saints are not here, then how can he be given authority over them? There's the mark of the beast that will be demanded of people to buy and sell. And we are warned not to take the mark of the beast. If we are not here to take the mark of the beast, why are we warned against it? And many people believe that, well, there must be some people going to be saved during the tribulation, the great tribulation. But I mean, I believe that is true, because tribulation comes from man. So people might be given their lives to the Lord during that time. People are going to be preaching hard. You know, this is the Antichrist. Don't take the mark. So people might be giving their lives to the Lord during this time and getting saved. But once God's wrath starts to be poured out, whether we're here or not, then some people believe that we are. I read that the rest of them who were not destroyed by whatever wrath is being poured out do not repent from their sins. So I don't see how people are going to be saved during God's wrath being poured out if they're not repenting. Because to be saved, you first must repent. Repent and be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is one aspect that we need to understand. Yes, there may be a great harvest coming, but there's also a great apostasy. Many are going to fall away. Narrow is the way. The path to righteousness, to salvation, is narrow, and the gate is small, and the path to destruction is wide, and many are going to follow the path of destruction and be lost. This is not God's will. It's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to the saving knowledge of Yeshua, he wants everyone saved, but that's just not going to happen. So this man of lawlessness, the lawless one, is going to be revealed. But you know that what restrains him now, so that his time, he will be revealed. He's being restrained right now by the Holy Spirit because it's not yet his time. And at his time, he will be revealed. But people look at what's going on in the world today and they think that, oh, this is, it must be the end times. You know, Jesus must be getting ready to come back. But what did Jesus say? In Matthew 24, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them and said, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many, because lawlessness is increased and most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." So here Jesus is instructing his disciples because they ask, when's this going to happen? And they specifically ask, what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age? So we are in the age of grace. And when will this age of grace end? And Jesus wants, you know, again, he is warning them, don't let anyone mislead you. And then we read later when the apostle gives the same warning, don't be deceived. Don't let anyone mislead you. And then he goes and describes some of the things that would be taking place and tells them very purposely, straight up, this is not yet the end. Just because you see wars and hear of rumors of wars, that does not mean the end is at hand. That is actually the opposite. And there will be famines and earthquakes. These are just merely the birth pangs. God's timing is not the timing of man. Whenever a woman goes into labor, it can last for hours and hours. Well, in God's time frame, a day is as 1,000 years. So if one day equals at least 1,000 years or more, what does this mean? You know, we're in birth pangs. An hour, it could be years. So God's timing is not our timing. And Jesus says to his disciples, wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, not the end. It's not yet the end. It's just the beginning of the birth pains. And he also says, then they will deliver you to tribulation. So here's another clue, another dot that we can connect. Tribulation. Here we are, going to be in tribulation. And many will be killed during that great tribulation when the Antichrist is in power. You will be required to take the mark of the beast to be able to buy and sell. And if you refuse it, you will be beheaded. They will chop off your head. So here Jesus is telling them, many will be killed. And then he says here again, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. We just went through a worldwide pandemic. Many are saying it was actually a plandemic. I believe this. It was actually a test created for the rise of the Antichrist and preparation for the mark of the beast. They wanted to see how many they could get to comply with the lockdowns and mask mandates and take the vaccine. 80% complied. Now, if you took the vaccine and complied with the mandates, I am not judging you. However, you need to understand that by doing so, you passed the devil's test. They were able to convince you to do what they wanted. You practiced compliance. When the mark of the beast comes out, if you comply and take the mark, you will be lost. In Revelation 13, we read, "And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his throne and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him?' There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. And then in Revelation 14, 9 through 11, then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Then we read in Revelation 19:20, and the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest of them there, they were killed. That's what the Bible says. So here we see clearly, taking the mark is not a good thing to do. It means that you are aligning with the world beast system and worshiping the beast, which is idolatry, and you will be lost. You will be tormented forever. What we should do instead is place our trust in Yeshua. He is our provision. Our job is not our provision. God is. He may use a job, but is the Lord who provides. The government is not our provider or salvation. Yeshua is. My son was told by God not to sell his soul to get on the payroll. This is the attitude we must have. If you are told you will lose your job or not be able to buy or sell unless you comply, then just say no and put your trust in the Lord. Do not sell your soul to get on the payroll. God will take care of you, but you also may be required to be a martyr. Being beheaded, though, is way better than losing your soul. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? When Israel wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, God provided food and water for them. Their clothes and shoes did not wear out either. We must place our trust in the faithfulness of Yeshua. Since the vaccine was not the mark of the beast, if you practice compliance during the pandemic, then repent and make a choice to refuse to comply next time. Just say no to fear and placing your trust in the wrong place. Amen. And as for all this teaching about, oh, Jesus is going to come back any day, well, the scripture says, yeah, he will come back. And some people are not going to really realize it, but we can see the seasons, the times, and wars and famines and earthquakes. That's not telling us Jesus is coming back any day. The sign will be the man of lawlessness will be revealed. That's what the scripture says. The Antichrist will come to power. So keep your eyes open. Watch for him to come and come to power. But most of all, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Build your relationship with the Lord and obey his commandments. In Acts 1, I just want to share, Jesus had been taken up to heaven. This was after his resurrection. He instructed the apostles. He gave them instructions, and then he went up to heaven. Just before that happened, they came together and they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Jesus had instructed them to go in Jerusalem and wait for the power to come upon them, which is the Holy Spirit. And here's these angels that tell him, "Why are you staring at the sky? He's going to come back the same way." But they were supposed to do something. They were supposed to go and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, to empower them to be witnesses. And Jesus had told them before he left, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." They were told to go to Jerusalem, and then they went to Jerusalem, and they waited in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come, which he did on the day of Pentecost. He fell and gave them power, and he taught them to do certain things. Then they were instructed to go and make disciples. They were instructed to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. And then mostly they were taught to disciple the nations, disciple others all over the world, to be their witnesses and to teach others to do what he commanded them to do. So we want to be about the Father's business, which is advancing his kingdom in the earth. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Before the rapture occurs, we must be about the Father's business, advancing his kingdom in the earth. And the way his kingdom is advanced is by destroying the works of the devil, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, discipling people, leading them to the Lord to repent and be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them what God has commanded us. Advancing the kingdom is our mandate. It's our duty. But beyond that, it says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person." And in Deuteronomy 10:12-13, Moses was telling Israel after the commandments were given, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good." This is still valid today. We are to fear the Lord and walk in all his ways, advance his kingdom. The disciples gave us many letters that will teach us how to do what the Lord has commanded us to do. So we study the Bible. We study both the Old and the New Testament. And we learn God's ways. We learn what he wants from us and how to advance his kingdom in the earth. And that's what we focus on. We build our relationship with the Lord. And then whatever time he comes back, if we have that strong relationship with him, walking in obedience, staying in purity, keeping our vessels, our bodies pure from the worldly sexual immorality and idolatry and all the things that God hates, we will be ready And if I'm wrong, and it's not pre-wrath, it's actually pre-trib, like many teach, doesn't matter. I'll be going. You'll be going if we do that. If it's mid-trib and we're doing this, loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and fearing the Lord and walking his ways, we'll be going. Pre-wrath, we'll be going. Post-trib, we'll be going. It doesn't matter when it happens. But don't let people disturb you with their talk of, oh, all these bad things are happening in the world, and that means the Lord's coming back any day. Well, I don't believe that exactly what the scripture teaches. I read some scriptures today that says certain things have to happen first before the Lord returns. And one is the one of lawlessness will be revealed. The Antichrist will be made known. And if we are looking for the signs of his coming, then that's one of the signs that he's coming. And we must be ready for tribulation with faith, trusting the Lord to provide for us, not trusting in a job, not trusting in a government, not trusting in our old self, what we can do or can't do. We can't trust in the earthly things. We have to trust in the Lord and know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always taking care of his own. So David says in Psalm 37:25 that he's never seen the righteous begging for bread. And we have to trust in the faithfulness of the Lord, that no matter what's going on in the world, we can always trust the Lord to provide for us everything that we need. And if we can't buy and sell without taking a mark, we refuse the mark and we trust the Lord to provide for us and be willing to be martyred for him. If our head has to be chopped off, it has to be chopped off. It's better to die in righteousness than sell our soul to get on the payroll. Amen. And 1 Peter 2:15 tells us, "For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." And for it in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And we should say, like David said in Psalm 48, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." And the will of God is that we fear him and obey him and have that personal relationship with him and advance his kingdom in the earth. Amen. So I hope you've been blessed and encouraged in this message today, that no matter what's going on in the world, we will be taken up. We will meet the Lord in the air when the time comes, if we have a personal relationship with Yeshua and are walking in purity and holiness and righteousness, advancing his kingdom in the earth, being about the Father's business. And we can look at the signs, but two big signs is a great falling away. The love of many are going to grow cold. And that one of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will be revealed. But the gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole earth. And I have to say one last thing here. It's not the gospel of the cross. It's the gospel of the kingdom. We are born again and placed back in our position before the fall so that we can advance the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven." And he taught his disciples how to advance the kingdom. And he told them, wherever you go, heal the sick and do all these things and let them know the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the sign that the kingdom's at hand, is the works of the enemy are being destroyed. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. So I'm here preaching the kingdom today, that we are destroying the works of the enemy through leading people to the Lord to repent and be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, cleansing lepers, and discipling those to do the same, so that we have multiplication. This is the kingdom. And if you want Jesus to come back, this is how we do it. Advance the kingdom in the earth. Preach the kingdom everywhere you go. Preach the kingdom and destroy the works of the enemy. Keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world. Don't be a friend of the world, because to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. And we don't want to be a friend of the world. You refuse all this sexual immorality that's so rampant in the world today, and idolatry in all its forms. Reject it and love the Lord, fear the Lord, and serve Him. Amen. Well, now that's all I'm going to say today. Shalom.